Welcome everyone to our second podcast for the Teach with Dave Masterclass series. If you haven't checked out the Teach with Dave Masterclass Facebook site, stop this recording now and go to the Facebook site to like the Gateway Teach with Dave Facebook page. If you follow this page, you will automatically be updated about the webinars, activities, and other things related to Dave's course books and events. Anyway, I'm here again today to speak to Dave Spencer. So hi, Dave, how are you doing?
I'm good, Anna. Nice to speak to you again. Yeah, it's pretty warm here. It's getting hotter every day here in Spain.
The same in Dubai, I have to say.
I can imagine.
Thank you for joining us again today. This podcast is linked to your last webinar, the one you did last week in the Teach with Dave series, which was on preparing teenagers for exams. So in today's podcast, we're going to talk a little bit more about exam prep classes. But first of all, I would like to ask you about your personal experience with exams, if you don't mind. How did you feel about exams when you were a student?
I suppose I was a pretty typical student in the sense that I hated exams. Like I think most people do hate them. Just because you get so nervous before an exam, it is hard work to prepare for any exam, especially if it's an exam where the results matters, you know, when you're deciding your future. So I used to get very nervous. I suppose I was lucky because somehow I did quite well in exams. And maybe that's the key. Nobody likes exams, but when you do them well, you feel okay. The problem is all those students who do get too nervous, who don't do well, and obviously that has very bad negative repercussions on how they feel. One thing that we didn't mention in the webinar was the importance, I think, of continuous assessment. When I was a boy, actually, all my assessment was only exams. And I think in most places today, hopefully, there is some sort of balance between exams and continuous assessment of your coursework. And I think that's really important. We all get nervous in an exam. Sometimes that can give you a better result. Sometimes it could give you a worse result. But if your regular work every day is solid, is good, then at least that means that you're counterbalancing any negative exams. And I think in English, actually, which I say to my students, the day-to-day work in English is really important, isn't it? You know, to get your speaking better, to do better in listening, you have to work every day as English. So I think it's really important to have that balance between exam assessment, but also that continuous assessment of your coursework. And I think the other thing about exams is that we tend to think that as adults, we don't have to do exams anymore. But I was thinking even after the webinar, in a way, doing a webinar is like an exam. Because if I don't explain very well, or if I don't make sense, or if I don't really know my subject very well, then I am going to get evaluated by the teachers who are listening. And I think as teachers, I suppose we're evaluated in every single lesson. You know, your students are evaluating you in some ways as a teacher. Are you clear? Are you interesting? Are you motivating? So I suppose we could say that, you know, in a way, exams are around us all the time, even as adults. So exam skills, as somebody said in the session, exam skills are almost like a type of life skill.
I very much agree with that, Dave. And it really resonates with me that you say nerves can be positive or negative, because as well, when I prepare my classes or when I do webinars, if I don't feel I'm well prepared, I can sometimes go blank. And it's like what I had as a child in exams as well. I was one of these stress heads. Moving on from you experiencing exams as a student to your role as a teacher, when you started teaching your first exam class, how did you prepare yourself for this? Was there anything in particular that you did that made it easier for you or made you feel more at ease in that process?
Yeah, well, actually, it was a long, long time ago now, but the first year that I ever started teaching English as a foreign language, I actually had to prepare a group of adult students for first certificate. And I suppose step one was really learning about the exam. And I wouldn't be surprised if some of my students knew more about the exam than I did the first year that I taught. So, I mean, I think rule number one is learn everything you can about the exam, what comes in the exam, how to do the exam, what exam strategies to use, and also making sure you know about the evaluation criteria. You know, because your students will ask, you know, so what happens if I do this? What happens if I do that? You know, in first for schools, do I need to pass every single part of the exam? All of those things. And obviously, you know, it's your duty, I suppose, as a teacher to know the answer to all of those questions. I think in a way I was lucky with my first exam class because they were all very, very motivated adult students. Very conscientious, very hardworking. And I probably thought that all my exam students would be like that. But afterwards, when I started teaching teenagers more, I suddenly discovered that some teenagers are very conscientious, but some tend to think that they don't need to study English for an exam, that it will just happen. They will either do it well or badly, but there is nothing they can do to influence their marks. If they do history, they know that they have to study a lot. But in English, it seems they think they don't have to study. So one thing that I learned when I moved from teaching adults to teenagers was really making sure that students realize that their hard work can influence their results, obviously. We know that, but I think teenage students sometimes don't.
I wonder if that's the same for adults, because I've had exam classes where people just rocked up for 4 hours a week expecting to go up one bench score in IELTS, which, of course, as you say, it's not enough to attend.
That's right. And I think with English as well, this thing about, you know, studying regularly, maybe not for so much time each day, but studying a little bit every day. Maybe if you study history, you can suddenly study the day before, the night before the exam. You can try and cram as much as you can and pass the exam. I think, as I said before about continuous assessment, with English, it's not possible, I don't think, to suddenly study really hard the night before an exam. It's that day-to-day effort that students make that makes a difference.
Indeed, it's a day-to-day practice of the skills that develops that automaticity that they need to do well in the exam, right?
Exactly, yeah.
In the webinar, you spoke about washback, which some of us might know as backwash, which is a very important concept, I think, for exam teachers to be aware of. Could you tell us a little bit more about this concept?
We mentioned this in the webinar, just to make it clear then what it means. So it means that whatever appears in your exam obviously will have some sort of effect on the way that you teach. And as I said, I mean, my example from day-to-day teaching in Spain is that in the school leaving exam that my students do, there is no speaking, no listening. And obviously that means that my students, when I want to do speaking or listening in class, they sort of say, well, why? Because it's not in the exam. So actually another example, I know that when I wrote the very first edition of Gateway, I was told, no, well, when you write an informal letter for this country, it has to have four paragraphs. And you start to think, well, that actually is having, you know, a negative effect on the students if they believe that every single letter or informal email in English has four paragraphs. It's clearly not true. So that sort of sometimes the exam dictates that you teach in a particular way. That could have a positive effect, but it could also have, of course, a negative effect. So I think it's really important to know, basically, analyze your exam, think about what it's doing well, think about what it's doing less well, and think about how that is affecting the way that you teach and the importance that the students give to those different elements when they're studying English. Also, I think with formative exams at school, often we give grammar exams and vocabulary exams because they seem easy to administer, easy to give, easy to mark. But of course, if we don't actually test the skills too, students get the wrong idea about English. They think English is a question of grammar and vocabulary, whereas we know, of course, that yes, they are important, but it's also important to be able to read well, speak, listen, and write. So, you know, this whole concept of washback is important in analysing how it affects that we teach day to day in the classroom.
So maybe a part of that as well is adapting what you teach so students actually get to develop those skills that they can use in real life.
Absolutely. Actually, one thing there that I think is important is that, you know, the materials that we're using are also, you know, relevant to their daily life, so that we are doing, if you like, two things at the same time. We're preparing for exams, but we're also preparing our students to use English in a, if you like, in a real way in the outside world.
Dave, in your latest series for teenagers, Gateway to the World, Great Thinkers, a special edition for teachers in Spain, you focus a lot on exam preparation. Now, can you tell us what support the series offers exam preparation teachers, but also students?
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, a main objective of Gateway, Gateway Second Edition, Gateway to the World and Great Thinkers, it's always been helping with exam preparation. And obviously, from my experience as a teacher, I think I've learned all of those things about knowing the importance of explaining what comes in the exam, how to do it best. And that's why in Gateway to the World, Great Thinkers, we've got these exam strategies, exam tips, which appear frequently throughout the course. The other important thing when you're teaching is teaching something once is never enough. You have to revise it, recycle it. And that's why after every two units in the book, we do these exam success pages, which recycle all the strategies that the students need. With the developing writing pages, we've also added now a writing checklist, which I think is really useful for students to remember that, you know, in the writing exam, one part is writing and the other part is checking your writing. And they're equally important, I think. So the writing checklist at the back of the book will be really, really useful. Also, one great thing that we've got in the new edition is the exam trainer in the workbook. And this is like really detailed, explaining evaluation criteria, evaluating what the students have to do, recycling, practicing, model texts, model answers. And so really, it's, I think it's really, really complete, even more complete than previous editions. I think one thing as well about Gateway, Gateway to the World, Great Thinkers, is that I've always been obsessed with the idea that exam texts from external exams can sometimes be a little bit dry, not very interesting, and not very informative. And of course, what I've always tried to do with Gateway, Gateway to the World, Great Thinkers, is to combine the exam practice, but with genuinely interesting and informative texts. So I think that's something that we're, you know, we're continually trying to do in Gateway. Actually, somebody mentioned in the webinar also the importance, of course, of making sure the student's language is up to the right level of the exam. And so obviously, that's why in Gateway, we're really combining the idea of developing vocabulary, developing grammar also at the same time too.
Lovely. I really like that last point that you've just made there, because quite often I feel that students like to practice the exam much more than focusing on vocabulary or grammar development. I often tell my students that exam prep is actually the icing on the cake, because if you don't have the language, you're not going to get very far, right?
That's a really nice way of putting it. Yeah, the icing on the cake. And I agree. I mean, you can teach exam strategies and your students can be absolute world experts in exam strategies. But if they haven't got the actual language level, you know, the grammar level, the vocabulary level to do the exam, the exam strategies are exactly as you say, they're icing on the cake. But first, we need the cake.
What I really like in your new series as well is that you use those model texts. I think using models or modeling, as we call it in primary education, is so important for students because it shows them what a good piece of writing looks like, but it also gets them on the way to learner independence. Is it something you found useful with your students?
Yeah, and I think, as you said, you know, you learned from experience, and me exactly the same. Sometimes we ask students to do things, but they can't really see or imagine exactly what it is we want from them. And I think that's why it's so important to have those model texts and to work on those model texts, whether it's writing or even speaking. What do we want from them? And I think, you know, when we give them examples, realistic examples, I think that's so important. They can visualize what they are aiming for.
The next masterclass webinar is on June the 16th, and it's all about preparing teenage students for life in the 21st century. A beautiful title, but can you tell us a little bit more what the masterclass is going to be about, please?
Obviously, when I designed the three sessions for the masterclasses, the idea was to cover, the main areas that are important in teaching teenagers. So if you like, the last webinar was all about preparing students for a life of tests. And the last session is about preparing teenagers for the tests of life. So in other words, preparing them for life after school. And that covers different areas. So we're going to look at life skills, which are obviously, you know, very important. I think we all realize the importance today about preparing students for just the everyday activities that they're going to need to do and that they will need to do in English. But we're also going to look at other things too. We're going to look at things like thinking skills. So one thing that came up in the exam session is we talked about students might have the English to do the exam, but they don't have the ideas. They're not sure how to go about justifying their arguments. So we're going to be looking at the importance of thinking routines that help students to develop arguments in a logical way. And we're also going to look at social and emotional learning. So the idea here as well of students knowing about how they feel, how other people feel, and seeing how that helps them then to develop as people. We're looking at exams in the second session. Here we're looking also at the students as human beings, as people, and how they feel, and also things like social skills such as collaboration. And we'll also look a little bit about global citizenship there.
It sounds like it's going to be another webinar jam-packed with useful and inspirational ideas, Dave. Where can people register if they want to join us?
If you just go along to macmillanenglish.com, Teach with Dave Masterclass, you can register there for free. And by the way, something that's important about these masterclasses is that when you register, you can immediately download pre-session tasks. And after the webinar, you'll get post-session tasks. But actually, Anna, of course, you're one of the best people to explain here exactly what those are, because you've been preparing those.
Yes, indeed. I have. The aim, of course, if you're going to join us at the webinar, is not just to be at the webinar, but also to think a little bit more before you come and join the webinar. The same as what we do in the classroom, good practice, activating student schemata. So if you've signed up, download that pre-session task, and there will be some questions to get you thinking about the topic before Dave is going to talk about the topic. Then after the webinar, indeed, as Dave just mentioned, you will receive a post-session task with a bit of a reflection, a quick revision to see what you remember from the webinar, and then more or less some ideas that you can put it in action in your own context. And usually there is an activity for your students as well. So that's normally what you get in an email after the webinar. Good. Is there anything else that you want to say about that, Dave?
No, as you've just pointed out, it's just a way of getting people to think a little bit more about the topic and, you know, just to get you thinking a little bit more. And obviously the idea is that these sessions can actually just get you thinking about what you're doing exactly in the classroom.
Good. Dave, I think it's time to say thank you. And as always, it was wonderful to talk to you today and hear all about your ideas. I'm already looking forward to the next webinar, and I'm pretty sure all the listeners are too. So thanks everyone who joined us today for the second podcast. We look forward to seeing you all again on the 16th of June. And Dave, I'm going to hand over to you to say goodbye to everyone.
Great. Well, thanks everybody for listening. Thank you, Anna, for the great questions. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing you on the 16th of June. I really hope you can join me.